Yeah, this time last week we were pretty full, so I guess everybody enjoys spring break. Well, this is going to be that time of the year where from one day to the next you don't know what kind of clothes to wear. Be hot one day and cold the next. Or windy like it was yesterday. But that's okay. I'm glad that God planned on seasons. I just hope we down here can eventually get back into all four of them instead of just two. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to talk about something I call the title of the message, Easter and the Blood of Jesus. This is that time of the year where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we move starting today, which is Palm Sunday, by the way. This is the Sunday that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And we move through the week that included his torture, his death on the cross, and then his resurrection next Sunday. And it's because Jesus was raised from the dead that you and I have eternal life today, provided that we believe in him, that we receive him into our hearts. Amen? You know, I hear this all the time. It's like the whole world acknowledges that they're going to heaven one day. And people don't understand that the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus. He said, "No man comes unto the Father except through me." So there's a plan that God has that we need to get in on. And I pray that every person in this room has had an encounter with Jesus Christ at one time or another in your life. And if you have, we want to encourage you to move into a deeper relationship with him. But if you haven't, then we want to encourage you to seek him out. You can find him here this morning. All you have to do is just decide that you want him in your life. And you see, as we receive Jesus Christ into our lives, there's all kinds of things that belong to us and will happen to us simply because Jesus is alive. He's alive. He lives. I love that song, "Because He Lives." So powerful. And he lives within our hearts, but at the same time, Scripture says that he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and you and I, if we're in Christ, we're seated there with him. So that kind of boggles the mind a little bit, you know, that you try to figure all that out up here. But let me tell you, quit trying to figure it out up here and just believe it in here. Amen. You won't have any problems that way. Hallelujah. Okay, but this morning we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus. And in this blood that we're going to talk about, there's a covenant. God is a blood covenant God. You can go way back in the Old Testament days and even find where God presented the first blood covenant to man. And when God revealed this covenant between himself and his children, and he revealed it to Moses up on the mountain that time, the covenant that, of course, he revealed was this blood covenant. And the blood has to be shed in order for man to have forgiveness of sin. Let me repeat that because it's most important. The blood has to be shed in order for man to receive forgiveness for his sin. Always been since Old Testament times, here in the New Testament times, and from now to the time Jesus returns, it's all the same. We have to have a blood that was shed to forgive us of our sins. And so the covenant required the shedding of the blood of animals to atone for sin. That's old covenant. And let's look at just an example of it in Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." That one little statement has always just boggled my mind. The life itself, the life of the flesh, is in the blood. "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." The blood that makes atonement for the soul. Now, it in a transition from old covenant to new covenant, we have to come through Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He was sent specifically to die on that cross, to shed His blood, that you and I might have forgiveness of our sins. And so He shed this blood, and we have the forgiveness if we will just remember it. And you see, this has to be common knowledge for you and I. Because once you receive Jesus into your life, you shouldn't sin. But God says, just in case you did, He said, confess that sin, and I will forgive you, and I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And the way He cleanses us is through the blood of Jesus. Okay? Now, let's look at a passage out of Hebrews chapter 9. This is another thing that it's just so powerful when you finally grasp what the author is talking about. Hebrews 9:11, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation." And verse 12, "not with the blood of goats and calves," that's old covenant, "but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." During that time space when nobody could find Jesus after the resurrection, remember reading about that? Well, this is what was occurring in the realm of the Spirit, of the kingdom of God. Jesus was taking that shed, or blood that He shed, into the Holy of Holies in heaven. And He was presenting it before God. And God receives that sacrifice, that sacrificial blood. What a powerful thing that God did through His Son, Jesus. And the thing is, He did it for you, and He did it for me, so that we can have life. And so Jesus takes it in there, and what this is involving is He's taking it in there, that there is a power in this shed blood that He shed on Calvary's cross. It not just gives man redemption from his sins, but it gives man eternity in Christ Jesus. You know, we talk about eternity, but I don't think people really understand what eternity is all about. We can get some pictures of it in the book of Revelation and some of the things that Jesus talked about. But think about it. Eternity is something that's out there going on right now. And so far, we can be a part of it because of what we choose to do in Christ Jesus. In other words, I'm a Christian. I'm born again child of God. I've given my heart to Jesus, my life to Jesus. And when I did that, I stepped into a form of eternity. And so when I leave this world, I'm stepping out of this body directly into heaven, directly into eternity. I don't have to go somewhere and wait, you know, or somebody to have to pray for me for umpteen years to get me into the place that I need to be. I'm following God's plan, and he's doing exactly what he said he'd do. Amen? All right. So Jesus brings that blood into the Holy of Holies for you and for me. And then the next step is for you and I to inherit this salvation and eternal life. You and I, must accept the blood sacrifice of the new covenant. We have to accept it. Now, that's where we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he laid down his life for us, that he was raised from the dead, and that he now sits at the right hand of the Father forevermore. Abby and I have the same problem. She lost her voice, and now I'm losing mine. But anyway, we receive everything that Jesus did into our lives, including the shed blood. And apart from forgiveness of sin and redeeming the soul, even today, there is still power in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the power of that blood is still here for a purpose. And it's that purpose that I want to look at today. Well, you know, Easter is a fabulous time to be able to talk about Jesus. But very rarely do you ever hear pastors talk about the blood Jesus, involving Easter itself. But what Jesus shed on that cross is the most powerful thing that we have today. So anyway, let's look at one realm of this power of the blood in Jesus. And the first thing we need to learn is that you and I, if we are Christians, we can apply the blood of Jesus to certain things. Did you know that there is a power in the blood to protect your family, to protect your home and property and anything else that you may need protection over? You know, we acknowledge, oh yes, I remember that. I heard that one time. But if you're not using it, you know, it's worthless to you. I don't want you to raise your hand, but do any of you pray and apply the blood of Jesus over your families, your homes, your property every day? That's what we're supposed to do. Because that's our protecting hand that God has given us. And by the way, it works. Don't ever think that it doesn't work. But if you don't receive it, then it's not going to work in your life. So you have to believe it, you have to receive it, and then use it in your life. And this application comes by learning to pray and learning how to apply the blood of Jesus. There's no magic formula, there's no phrase that we have to repeat over and over again that would activate the power of the blood of Jesus. It's already activated. All you have to do is just use it, declare it in Jesus' name. The results will happen because of our faith that we have in the blood of Jesus and in Jesus himself. Now listen, Paul made a statement, and it's really a strong statement once you understand it. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul says that we also believe, and therefore we speak. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Do you understand that the things that you believe, you are to declare? Just like the blood of Jesus. Because our declarations that we make have power. There is power in our words that we speak, both for good and for bad. So you have to be careful and you have to be sensitive to what it is you're going to speak. And speaking is a part of applying the blood of Jesus. Now, God demonstrated this power over in the Old Covenant. And it's important that we understand this part of it because the power has never left the blood. It just passed on through Jesus, and now God's given it to us. And Jesus, of course, called the Old Covenant a new and better covenant in the New Testament. So let's look over in Exodus 12:13, and let's see where the blood, this powerful blood, was used. Exodus 12:13, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. Now, if you don't know the story, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But there was a plague that was going to be released over Egypt. And everybody that was in the realm of where that plague was going to be would be a part of it, unless there was something to protect you. And so God gives a word to Moses, and he tells him to speak to the children of God, tell them to kill a young lamb, apply the blood of that lamb over the doorpost of the houses that they were living in, and then that night that this death angel would pass over Egypt and these places where people lived, and if the death angel detected the blood of the lamb, then he would pass over that house. No one would die. And you see, this is the power of protection of the blood of Jesus. It's kind of a picture of Jesus shedding his blood. Because Jesus is described as the Lamb of God. The blood of a lamb was killed in Egypt, but the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, was killed in Jerusalem for you and I. His shed blood was for us, our Passover. Amen? So the new covenant has this power in the blood of Jesus to protect us in everything, as long as we apply the blood. It's not going to do you any good just sitting here on the pages of the Bible. You got to get it down in here and believe it and then use it. Now back in verse 13, the word token means an evidence or a sign in the Hebrew. And God protected the households that had the sign. And even today, he sees the sign of the applied blood of Jesus over that which we applied. So God hasn't changed. He will still protect us. And when you ask God to cover your family or with the blood of Jesus, then I believe that God just builds a hedge of protection round about you with that blood. Now, you need to learn that every day, and even several times a day, that you need to apply the blood. Just make it a habit in your life. When you're at work, working people, do you ever think about your family? Yeah? They cross your mind. But when they cross your mind, apply the blood of Jesus over them again. I start the day off that way. But during the day, I apply the blood of Jesus. And I that's one way that I can bless my family with protection, with health, and all these other things that we need for life and godliness. So apply the blood of Jesus, for the blood of Jesus is a source of life and protection in and around our lives. So applying the blood is simply declaring the blood over the areas that you need protection. Now, the second realm of power in the blood is to learn how to to use the blood of Jesus against our enemy. Everybody knows that Satan is our enemy, correct? Anybody confused over that? Well, Satan has a multitude, tremendous multitude of demonic beings. They're the ones that give us most of the problems. Very seldom does Satan ever walk up to somebody because he's got all these demons that he uses. And so there's a power in the blood of Jesus that can destroy these demons. It can take away their power. It can break curses that they form. And all of these things that come up against us, we can defeat these things through the power of the blood of Jesus. That's powerful. And we don't fully realize what we have as Christians. We really don't. But if we would ever get in there and learn these things and use them as weapons of warfare, we're going to always come out victorious. Amen? So let's look at an example in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Beginning in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren, who's that? Satan. He spends time in God's presence accusing you and I. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down. I like that. He loses. Which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the what? What lamb? Jesus. Okay? So that which Satan will be doing, you can bring it to a stop by applying the blood of Jesus. And then you can overcome him through this blood. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. What about the testimony? What does that mean? It means telling people about Jesus, how powerful his blood is. You know, the very reason that he gave his life so that you, whoever you're talking to, can also have life if they will simply believe. You see, there's power in our testimony when we testify of the goodness of God. Amen? So, Satan and his demons cannot stand against or be near the blood of Jesus. And so we need to learn how to use the blood of Jesus against the enemy. Now, we can bind the enemy and then cast him out through the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. If I've ever prayed over you, sometimes you probably heard me when we're trying to deal with an issue in your life, that I cover it with the blood of Jesus. And then I command it to come off of your life through the name of Jesus. Amen? And it's all a part of getting people set free. But at the same time, you and I can be free on our own if we just learn how to use this stuff that God has given us through Jesus. Now, the Word of God is indispensable to our knowledge and to our faith in God. But we have to know the Word of God. We have to know the Word of God. You see, it's the Word of God that says, and it's the blood of Jesus that does. Amen? The Word says who we are, what we are, what we have, and then the blood of Jesus does what we just said. Okay? Now, the enemy's going to come up against you at every turn. But you have the blood of Jesus. If you'll use it, if you'll apply it, you can bring defeat to him every time. And it's this power is the same power that resisted the death angel in behalf of the children of Israel there in Egypt. The same power. And this power is the same power over in the new covenant that raised Jesus from the dead. Same power. And this power is available to us today when we use it for protection and the defeating of the power of the enemy. It's available, but we have to use it. So that's two purposes that we've uncovered, so to speak, about the power that's in the blood of Jesus. And so a third realm, in the blood is that our consciences are purified. And let me tell you, that to me, this is so important. So important. Hebrews 9:14, let's look at that right quick. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? All of the bad habits you have, all the bad thoughts that you think, all of the negativity that you have stored in your conscience, all of these things can be washed clean by applying the blood of Jesus. That's what he's saying. It can be washed clean. The blood of Jesus purifies our conscience from the sin nature, our guilt of sin, and then opens up the opportunity for you and I to be perfected in Christ Jesus. You know, every now and then I'll hear some Christian talk about being perfect. But for the most part, none of us are perfect. Amen? But there's a power in Christ Jesus that if we allow it to work in our hearts, will take us toward that goal of perfection. But we cannot make ourselves perfect. Only Jesus can get us to that place. Amen? So, this purpose of the blood is easily forgotten of the powerful changes that it can bring to your life. And not many people ever even think about this passage of Scripture. I've read over it for how many years until it finally jumped out and bit me. But that, I mean, I couldn't believe what it was actually saying, you know, that my conscience can be washed clean. We're always talking about, you know, our sin being purged, washed, and cleaning us up, especially when we receive Jesus into our hearts. That's the first thing that happens to us, is that he forgives all of our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But then we don't go the next step to have our conscience cleaned and cleansed and restored. And that's what Hebrew writer is talking about. Now, I believe that this is why, too, that most Christians struggle with their sin every day. They never have appropriated this cleansing of the conscience that only the blood of Jesus can bring. So the question is, are we actually forgiven of our sin? And the answer is yes. God doesn't lie. When God says something, it's true. And it'll never be anything else but the truth. So he said he would forgive, and if he said it, then it's a done deal. Yet cleansing comes through forgiveness, according to what I just quoted a while ago, John chapter 1, verse 9. Let's say it again. If we confess our sin, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So, in spite of this, in spite of the Word of God, though, there are so many Christians that still feel guilty of the sin that they've had in their lives. And, you know, when God forgives something, it's gone. Even God doesn't remember it anymore. And if God doesn't remember it anymore, why do we think we have to remember it? Well, let me tell you, it's a work of the enemy. Even after you've been cleansed by the washing of the blood of Jesus, the enemy is going to come back to your conscience and rehearse your sin again. And that's where we need to learn another part of the Bible. Resist the devil, or submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You don't have to receive that stuff that he brings back to you. Yet too often Christians do. They think, oh, well, I thought I was forgiven. I thought I'd got beyond that. And they pick it up and take it right back. But you don't have to receive it back. In fact, don't even think about receiving it. You see, we got to start believing in God and the things that he tells us and the things that we're supposed to do in Christ Jesus instead of trying to do the things that the world says we're to do. The world is lost. The world is going to hell without Jesus. And so that's why God wants us all cleaned up and presenting a good presentation of ourselves so that we can get others to come into the kingdom of God. How would you receive Christ Jesus into your heart if the one that's telling you about it is drunk all the time and partying and all this stuff? You wouldn't think much of it, would you? But when you see the love of Jesus on somebody's face, can sense it in their heart, and they're telling you about your eternal life, you're going to perk up and listen and hopefully receive Jesus into your heart. So we see we have to be careful. Once our consciences are clean, then don't allow the enemy to bring the stuff back. You see, if by faith we have received the blood cleansing of our conscience, then all of that fear and dread that was in our conscience is cast down, and we can walk in confidence and assurance of our lives in the process of being perfected. Amen? You understand all this? It's really simple. In fact, I keep saying this, but every time God begins to show me something in the Word, I think to myself, you know, that's simple. And God is not a complicated God. But when you have Jesus in your life and the Spirit of God in your life, the Word of God should be the easiest book you ever read. And the most powerful book because of the one teaching you that Word. And that's the Holy Spirit. So, we don't need any more defilement by sin. We don't need any more believing that sin dominates us. We don't need any more believing about the or believing in and dreading the wrath of God for our sinful life. Think about that one. We don't have to have any more lies concerning our debt of sin. Who's the father of lies? Satan. I don't usually mention him this much in my messages, but every chance I get to put him down, I'll put him down. Amen. And there's no more doubts as to whether we're purified or not if we just believe in the power that's in the blood of Jesus, our risen Savior. And he's given us the power of his blood. So we need to learn how to appropriate this blood, to cleanse our conscience, and receive a life-changing event that brings the sin issue to rest in our heart. We don't have to worry about it anymore. We have to be conscious that, you know, we can still sin. So we need to be careful not to. And it's time to appropriate this work of the Spirit of God that comes through the blood of Jesus. It's time. So there's a power in the blood of Jesus. There's a power to redeem your soul. There's a power of forgiveness of your sin. There's a power to protect. There's a power to assault and defeat the enemy. And there is a power to cleanse and purify our sin-sick conscience. And all we have to do is believe it, receive it, and apply it. Amen? So, that's simple. If we'll just do it. Now the question is, well, what do we do this morning? Well, why don't we do what we just discovered? Why don't we apply the blood of Jesus, the power that's in that blood, to every conscience in this room? Do you want it? Yeah. And once you receive it, don't turn it loose. Believe it. That your conscience is being cleansed through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're going to walk in a newness of life that you've never felt. So why don't we do that? But first of all, I'll get Jonathan to come. And I want to find out not put anybody on the spot, but do we have anyone here today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord? You see, that's the biggest thing about Easter, what Jesus did for you on that cross. And he's here this morning. Everything applies. And all he needs from you is acceptance. Jesus does not burst into anybody's heart to save them. But he comes by invitation. And it's so easy to receive him by asking him. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand this morning and bow your heads. And I want to pray. And as I pray, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart to come in and save you from your sin and release all of these benefits that he died for, I want you to just kind of walk to the front here, because I want to pray with you in a minute. And we're going to get salvation into your heart today, so that you can begin this walk with Jesus. You see, once he comes, there comes relationship. relationship between you and Him. So with your heads bowed, I want you to be praying as I pray. And if anyone wants to accept Him this morning while we're praying, you just walk down to the front, stand here, and then I'll come down and pray with you. Father, we do. We thank You once again, Lord, for Your precious gift in the life of Your Son. And Father, we know that He's here today because You say that He is the head of the church. And Father, we don't necessarily understand how He can be the head of all the churches, but He is. And He's present in this room today. So Father, I ask that by Your Holy Spirit, You just move upon the hearts of people in this room. And if there are any who have never received Jesus into their lives, Lord, that You just open their eyes to believe this morning that Jesus is Your Son, the Son of God. To believe that Jesus died on that cross, not just so we could have a holiday, but Lord, that He died on that cross to forgive sin of mankind and to bring them into an eternal life with You, Lord. And Father, if there be any person here this morning who just simply needs to be set free and to walk in freedom that comes in Christ Jesus, then Lord, we thank You for what You're going to do in these lives this morning. And Father, we're here to give You all of the praise, all of the honor, in Jesus' name. But just keep praying.